always a treat, as I said, to see Jerry down at the ballpark. He's usually there for the first game of every series. And it's always a treat to have Jerry Howarth on these airwaves. So we're very pleased at this time to be joined by Sportsnet Hall of Famer and Bridge Hall of Famer, Jerry Howarth. How you doing?
Yesterday was a real humbling moment for me. I was real surprised when Scott Moore reached out to me a month ago and said, we're going to have this Hall of Fame, and we want Ted Rogers, Phil Lind, and you to be a part of it initially. And it was just an unbelievable time for me and my family. And when you talk about Phil Lind, I talked to Phil a little bit yesterday. I've known him for a lot of years. And it was really in 1998 he suffered a severe stroke. And look what he has done over the last 20 years. It's amazing physically how that took its toll, but everything else, he just has continued to be a force of nature, really, for Sportsnet, and it was an honor to go in with him. I only met Ted Rogers once, but he put it all together, so it was quite a moment.
Yeah, and Phil's got some opinions about baseball, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, and you know, you talk about someone who's soft-spoken. He's very outspoken, too, on a number of occasions, and I think that helped Ted Rogers. They always talk about opposites attract, and Ted was able to listen to Phil and become better. And then people who listen to Phil around him, too, they become better as well. But, yes, he's someone who's opinionated, but he also backs up with modesty, humility, and that's what you want.
Yeah, he's, as I said, there's a lot of people around this place who have benefited from Phil's counsel. So, Jerry, we've spent a lot of time, because of the type of season this has been, talking about the Jays young players and watching the Jays young players. And as I said before our break, you've seen them all. I'm not going to ask you to compare this group to other young groups you've seen, but I am going to ask you to compare this group to other young groups you've seen. So, having said that, again, early time, you know, it is September 19th, and we've all seen... I mean, Rowdy Tellez isn't the first Rowdy Tellez we've seen. That's for sure. We've seen other Billy McKinney's. But what's your sense of this young group of players, Jerry, and what the future holds for them?
Well, when you ask me to look back, Jeff, I think of 1982, which coincidentally happened to be my first full season with the Blue Jays. Bobby Cox comes along, Hall of Famer to be, and brought in by a Hall of Famer to be in Pat Gillick. And I saw a young team. I saw so many young players in 1982 who in 1985, so it takes a while, 4 years later, won 99 games in the Blue Jays' first ever division championship, beating the Yankees on the next to last day at Exhibition Stadium. So I can't compare this team to that now, but I can say that next year, and I think it's pretty much a given now that one of my best friends in the game, John Gibbons, who I would compare equally with Cito Gaston regarding a manager working with people, handling a game, delegating authority to his coaches, the difference being Cito had great players and won with them. John had very good players in 15 and 16 and almost won with them. I think it is probably time for a change to move in a different area. Then when you look at the lineup yesterday against Baltimore, and then you add to that the kids who are coming, and in particular Vladimir Guerrero and then later Bo Bichette and so many others, you can see the beginnings of what happened in 82. And for the fans, just bear in mind, 2019, 20, and 21 could be three building years toward 22 and being able to be a viable contender in a tough American League East.
Yeah, and, you know, that's I've been getting a little bit of grief from our friend Mr. Barker, because I've been now for 2 months sort of reminding people here that, and I don't mean this as any slight to Toronto baseball fans or to the Blue Jays, but I keep reminding them that before you start talking about taking a run at the Red Sox or the Yankees, you've got to look at Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is, they're 18 games over 500. They are young. They're kind of what the Jays, and I think in their wildest dreams, would like to be next year. This division is not going to get any easy. It is not going to be easier in 2022. It's not.
No, it is not. And tomorrow I will be there, first game of a series, as you mentioned on your show, to see one of my favorite former Blue Jays, and that's Kevin Cash. And now keep this in mind. I'm going to throw out a name as well. Kevin Cash is in his fourth year with the Tampa Bay Rays. He's grown into that job, a former catcher, kind of a nondescript catcher, but someone now who is completely in control of a team that no one thought would be as good as they are. John Schneider, the former catcher, Blue Jays manager in the system for years, won another championship, and now it was with AA New Hampshire here just about a week ago. For me, if I'm looking at a big picture scenario, I would roll the dice and say, John Schneider, you come up here. You take these young kids, and you grow into the job much like Kevin Cash has done with Tampa Bay. And in 3 or 4 years, this will be your team. It'll be the Blue Jays team. It'll be the fans team. It'll be the country's team. And let's see what happens. I think for me, that would be one scenario among many that the Blue Jays could take a look at.
What would you do, Jerry, with, you know, you look ahead to next year, and the Jays, obviously, they've got Troy Tulowitzki under contract still. They've got Russ Martin under contract still. We know that this team is going to, we anticipate that there is going to be a wave of good young talent coming up here. But that good young talent is going to need, it's going to need some veterans around. You're not just going to sort of organically build your team out of rookies and win. You're going to need to have somebody around. Is there somebody who has emerged this year for you that you look at being absolutely crucial to the development of those young players next year? You know, maybe somebody who has surprised you. Like, for me, it's Kenrys Morales. I was ready to back the truck up with Kenrys Morales earlier in the year. Yet I've kind of seen the role he's played with guys like Aledmys Diaz and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. I wonder if there's somebody else you've noticed and thought, you know, this guy could really, he could be part of the core here going forward.
Well, Kendrys is a good name to mention because you're right. To start the year, you wondered how much was left. To finish the year, there was a lot left. And when you hear the other players, like you just mentioned, Diaz and Gurriel and others, praising him as far as what he has meant to them, and seeing those players in the dugout with him talking about the game, he's almost an essential part of what you're looking at in 2019, and he's got one more year left on his contract. Other than that, I don't see anybody who's been around long enough to make that kind of impact. And when you mentioned Troy Tulowitzki and Russ Martin, a tip of the cap to them in 15, because the Blue Jays almost went to the World Series, and for me, the World Series was that series against the Royals. The next year, they fought Cleveland in the championship series, and Cleveland went on to almost win the World Series. I think you have to move on from Tulowitzki and Martin in their last years of their contract. Russ has one more year, and I think Troy has a couple, because now the veteran presence is kind of nice, but I think you have to play these other kids, and Gurriel at shortstop has proven that maybe he's the everyday player there, and you have to grow into that. I think at this particular point, you almost have to kind of cut ties and see where you go. I really think one of the essential elements here is, what about Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez for next year? Because when people talk about, and rightfully so, the young developing Ryan Barucki, Thomas Pannone, Sean Reed Foley, this is September. When you start to put kids like that into a rotation in April and ask them to go 6 months, if not more, it becomes a whole different scenario. So there still are a lot of questions with the 2019 team, as I mentioned, 2 or 3 years down the road. But I think overall, Kendrys Morales is the one player who probably could make a difference when you talk about the transition.
You mentioned Stroman, you mentioned Sanchez. This is the second year in a row now that you know, we're going to finish the season, I think, Jerry, with question marks. I don't know about concerns, but certainly question marks are around the two of them. And, you know, that also raises the question, as you said, you know, look, their window of the Jays' window of opportunity may not necessarily line up with Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman. But if you are the Jays, do you entertain moving at least one of them this offseason, do you think, realistically? Or do you just, you know, even with the injuries, the blisters and whatever, do you just realize that you need those innings from someplace next year?
I think of the two, if you're going to move one, I would say it was Marcus Stroman. for me, Aaron Sanchez is a great teammate and somebody who, because of the last 2 years, unfortunately, with the blister and then the suitcase incident and hurting his finger again, I think he could still blossom into a core pitcher with the team that's growing into the 2021 seasons to get better, and I think he could still be a significant part of that. With Marcus Stroman, I'm not sure. There's still a lot of question marks about him. His off-field tweets and antics like that, I think after a while that gets a little bit old. But Marcus has shown in the past he was pretty good. But I think if you were going to try to get something for Marcus right now, this would be a pretty good time. And then again, develop another starter, maybe pick up another starter, because those kids are going to be good up to a point. But for the long haul of a season, there's still a lot left for Baraki, Pannone, and Foley to see what they can do with maybe two or three others.
Jerry, you know, I want to ask you this just in a general question about the way the game is played now, because, you know, we're here in September 19th. We are in the middle of, you know, a pretty good playoff race in the National League, kind of less so in the American League. I think right now we're just basically trying to figure out where the wild card game is going to be played. But it seems to me that there's almost a disquieting sense around the game right now. There's an awful lot of dialogue, an awful lot of talk about the way the game is played, and not just the predominance of shifts, but just the way the game is played, where the game is going. It almost seems as if baseball's sort of, it's kind of struggling with the marriage between analytics and the fact that we are seeing an almost unforeseen, or not unforeseen, but an unseen level of young talent coming into the game earlier than we're used to seeing. And it's, in some ways, it seems like it's a bit of an uncomfortable marriage. What would you, do you like baseball right now the way it's played? Or are there some things you think the game ought to look at seriously doing to improve the game?
Well, that's a good question. And I think, Jeff, perspective has a lot to do with it. If you're in Toronto right now and you're seeing the Blue Jays play the way they are, you're looking for changes because too many strikeouts, not enough base hits, not enough baseballs put into play, et cetera, et cetera. That would be a very interesting question to pose in Boston and New York and Houston and even Oakland this year and places like that in the National League as well, where they're winning and they're drawing great crowds and they're approaching 2.5 to 3 million. So I think that perspective has a lot to do with it. As far as the game itself, I think in farm systems, et cetera, what do you do? How do you begin to promote trying to hit against the shift and going the other way and your batting philosophy? And because when you get to the major leagues now, it's pretty much strikeouts or home runs, and that can't, I don't think, fit in every scenario. So I think overall, while changes, I think, might be made, I think it's up to each individual organization to develop a system where here's the shift you're going to see. Let's start in Double-A. Let's put the whole gear into effect, and let's see if we can't go the other way. Let the home runs take care of themselves. Now, having said that, you're in the American League East, where there are a lot of home run ballparks, and this is a launching pad right here at the Rogers Center, too. I can't answer that, but I do think that here you're probably looking at the possibility of more changes, but it gets down to your talent level. And if you have Randall Grichuk and others hitting 25 and 30 home runs, you'll take the strikeouts, the batting average, which is pretty antiquated now. And if the one-loss record shows 10, 12, 15 games over 500, now you're not talking about too many changes because you're happy with the results. And so I think that has to be taken into consideration.
Jerry, we really appreciate you joining us today. It's always good to talk to you. I will look forward to seeing you down at the Rogers Center.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it, too. And it just seems like yesterday was February 13th when I retired on your show. And here it is, the end of the season almost, and it's amazing how time goes so fast.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you down at the Rogers Center, Jerry. Thanks for doing this. And again, congratulations.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jeff.